The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello and welcome to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Happy Saturday. We're so glad that you're with us today, and we're glad that you are talking about one of my favorite things to talk about. That would be real estate. I'm Paul Jamison, your host, owner of the Jamison family of real estate companies. That's Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, and Jamison Property Investments. Here with Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage. Hey, Sandy.
Hey, Paul.
How are you?
I'm good.
I went up to a guy's door the other day, and he goes, I'm Paul Jamison, owner of the Jamison family of real estate companies. I guess I say that a lot.
I don't know if we could deal with two of you.
I'd imagine there'd be more than one person that would agree with you there. So what we're going to talk about today is I'm with Sandy for the whole show today. We're going to talk about mortgages. We're going to talk about your home. We're going to talk about lots of different mortgage options in this market. But as always, I'm going to talk to you about what I learned this week. And what I learned this week, I'm just ready to throw it out there. I'm just ready to say that I get this kind of rifle of questions. You know, because this market is so volatile, I shouldn't need, or not volatile, but active. It is volatile. I shouldn't need to paint it. Yeah, change the light bulbs. They won't care. Clean it? Nah, I'll vacuum. Declutter? Make the bed? I'll get it. Fix the broken railing? Nah. Clean up the yard? Like it is. Put my toothbrush away? I'll get top dollar. Because there's just no houses for sale. Do you think I hear this, Sandy?
I would think so.
I do.
I've seen it.
So, let's ask the question. Will the home sell? Yeah. At a good price. In this market. To that extent, they're right. But let's ask another question. Will the home sell if you do some obvious things to get it sold, like clean up, declutter, paint, fix the obvious things that are broken? You know? Do you think it'll sell? Yeah. It'll sell at a great price. Let's ask another question. Oh, this is just so fun. Will the home sell if I do the obvious things, have the home pre-inspected, and change out some very obvious things to make the home really stand out, including tweaking the yard, marketing it to a larger audience with a real strategy, with a focused effort, while pricing it aggressively to bring about competition? What do you think is going to happen then, Sandy?
You're going to get over-asked. That's for sure.
It's going to sell at an amazing price. So, why do I say all this kind of tongue-in-cheek and having fun with you folks out there? It's because there really is a mentality as a seller right now that you don't have to do some of the same things we used to have to do back in the day to sell your home. And to a certain extent, some of that is true, that there are more tolerable buyers due to the lack of inventory right now. But if you still do those things and you still put the effort forward, you're going to get amazing prices above and beyond what you would expect. You know, for example, I sold a house recently. And I had a crawl space inspection done. And I think you all have heard in the past that the reason about 70% of the deals fell through for me were because of the crawl space issues. You know, nobody wants to go in there. There's like critters in there sometimes. Nobody wants to go down underneath there. And if you're claustrophobic, you definitely don't want to go in there, right? But if you take some of the air quote biggies off the table, you create a scenario of confidence for the buyer, and your offers are so much stronger. So we encourage you, you know, if you're a seller, you know, do the smart things that bring you money and think very strategically. And I guarantee you, whatever you spend on those strategic items, you'll get a very, very good return on your money for doing those things. So if you really want to win, that's what it takes to win. All right, Sandy, tell me about the mortgage update.
Well, this past week we got the CPI index, which is an inflation indicator. And we were a tiny bit less inflammatory than last month. So, like, instead of 8.5, we were like 8.3% more inflation. So we're still having a lot of inflation. The Fed is going to be raising rates another couple months, either a half or three quarters of a basis point, which is a lot, in hopes to squelch the fear of inflation and out of control economy. So the rates did steady a little bit after they raised the rates. They have not come down, so they're in the high fives, maybe sometimes low sixes. They're amazing, and everyone should go buy a house because the market's starting to stabilize, and we are seeing a few more things pop on the market. It's probably not going to get a lot higher than this, but it may go a little higher before it's over. Before we go into recession in a couple of years, we can all refinance on really nice low rates after the recession hits.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about this a little later. But, you know, you have choices, right?
Right.
So when you have options, you know, when you have choices, when you have options, you know, at Jamison, we just came up with a variable service plan for clients and their needs, and if they're selling their home. So, you know, I think it's important to have options and have things that some homes make sense to have and others don't. And not have to one size fits all everything. And I think that's what's really cool about what we're going to talk about today, Sandy, around mortgages and mortgage rates. And then, you know, one of the other things I wanted to spend a couple minutes on was, you know, if your home's vacant, even though, you know, there's optimism, there's also staging, and there's also things you should do, basics that in any vacant home you should do. I was in a vacant home the other day. I've been in a lot of vacant homes, but, you know, there are two things that can make or break a showing in a vacant home. Care to guess? TJ, care to guess?
I have no idea.
Smell and temperature. So, and you could equate temperature also to utilities. So if I go into a home and the seller just says, I'm shutting off all the utilities, that house in another month or so is going to be hot.
Hot and
those also temperature have a smell they try to get rid of and use the old trick where they lower it down to like where you can hang meat in the house. You're not going to fool me with that. Just take care of the smell, right? And of course the other, you know, smell. If it stinks, clean it up, fix it, because that's a huge turnoff. So just know, and don't use those little plug-in things because that makes it worse. So, you know, take care of those two things in a vacant house. So, you know, we got a loaded show today. And also, we're going to talk about gazumping. That's a fun thing. Gazumping. You know, TJ, about gazumping. Sandy's a master at gazumping. So we're going to have fun with that.
I don't know about that, but I love the word.
I know. Isn't that a great word? That should be on a T-shirt.
It is a great word.
The show, Your Real Estate Today, Paul Jamison here with Sandy Dickinson on News Talk 1110 WBT. Don't go anywhere, and especially don't be gazumping.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back. The show, Your Real Estate Today, Paul Jamison, your host here with Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage. Hello, Sandy.
Hello.
So, you know, one of the things we have talked about time and time and time and time and time again is how to win and how to use your lender how to win. If you're a buyer or investor and you want to win, we've talked about multiple shows. You can always go back to WBT.com. Easy for me to say. And go to the shows tab, go to the Your Real Estate Today tab, and look at the blogs or podcasts or whatever they call them. Is that what they call them, podcasts?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. They're not gazumpings. Okay. Podcasts, and you can listen to some of the shows about how to win. But it's interesting now, and we teased a little bit about it in the first segment. Sandy, at Cross Country, and you specifically, from being in the business for so many years, even though you're only 25, the amount of products that you will offer to meet today's market, you pretty much have to, right? You have to give people choices, either based on their finances or based on their need. And as the rates go up, the more options you have, the better, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, you know, as a seller, you know, why would a conventional mortgage be more appealing?
Well, the conventional mortgage is the bourgeois of all the mortgages. It is for the really stable financial people. They have good credit typically. They can afford to put more money down. There's not a lot of appraisal weirdo things that happen with the appraisers. Like, they're not as particular about the property because they have a stronger buyer. It's just an indication that, hey, we've got a pretty darn good buyer here.
She had to use the word bourgeois because when you said it, TJ looked up and started laughing. TJ, of course, is my producer here and my friend. And he started laughing because of the whole story around bougie. So the quick version of this story, we digress, is we were doing a show and Sandy said, we were talking about going somewhere or something, and she says, that's not bougie enough for me. Well, I heard the word boozy. So I said, not boozy enough for you? Okay. Well, that's not boozy enough for Sandy. Then I went to break. So Sandy comes back on after break, and she says, Paul, before we go on, I need to tell everybody that Paul said, I'm boozy. It's not boozy. It's bougie. And so we did almost a whole segment laughing about the whole bougie thing. So now Sandy's nickname is Bouge. So, you know, who knows? You might get a better mortgage if you call her Bouge when you call, so you know where it came from.
So then I'll know they listen.
I know they listen to it. That's right. But, you know, okay, so as a seller, Sandy, you're right. The conventional mortgage is truly a sign that they have a credit worthiness that says they're either going to put more money down or that they'll qualify for that type of mortgage. And some of the restrictions around that aren't as heavy as some of the federally backed or FHA or VA mortgages. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So Sandy, why do you think buyers and lenders prefer a higher down payment then in conjunction with that?
Well, it just makes the loan stronger. It has an indication, hey, this is a responsible buyer that knows how to save money. And probably, you know, has good credit because they can make their payments and just overall financially responsible.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, Sandy, because from your perspective, it shows a sign when they qualify with a larger amount of money. You know, their ratios are in check and they're stronger and typically more creditworthy, right? Is that a fair statement?
Right.
Yeah. Now let's think about it from the seller's perspective for a minute. The seller is thinking in their mind a couple of things. One, if there's an appraisal contingency, meaning that if the buyer says, you know what, if this home doesn't appraise, you know, up to this amount of money, that's fine. We'll make up the difference. Or, you know, if they put down a larger due diligence amount of money, you know, as we're going to talk about in a little bit, that basically says they're not going to walk away, right? So,
right.
So for the seller, that means that that person has the credit worthiness to either take on some repairs, take on an appraisal gap, or take on some type of a contingency that may come about in the transaction. So that's really what the seller's head is thinking if they're not getting a cash offer. And in some cases, that takes and makes it as competitive as a cash offer. All right. So why would someone choose a conventional then over, say, a VA? A VA is government-backed. It's 100%. I mean, would you not see a VA as a strong offer?
I like VA loans, but there are a lot of appraisal restrictions. They don't like the buyer paying for certain things, which puts more more burden on the seller sometimes. And typically it's 100% financing. So that means, hey, maybe this guy hasn't saved the money. I mean, most sellers wouldn't say, hey, they just want 100 because they can get it.
Yeah.
Most would say, hey, they don't have the money, so they're going for the 100% financing.
Right, right. Well, you know, from this perspective, too, in conjunction with what you're saying, which is exactly right, is VA appraisers and appraisals can sometimes be a hassle, especially on older homes, because they look at things differently than a conventional appraiser or in some cases even a FHA appraiser would look at them. And they do make the buyer or the seller actually pay for certain things around that. You know, my thing is, hey, it is a benefit that that veteran has earned and should be able to use. But they make it unattractive in some cases to the seller. But here's what a lot of agents don't know. And that is this. And I got this recently when I got a VA offer. And that is that as the buyer, first of all, you can write an additional addendum as long as your lender approves it that says that you'll do an appraisal waiver. And as long as it's a part of the contract, not written by anyone I would suggest other than an attorney, there are opportunities to make that stronger. Also, as a VA buyer, you can put down a larger amount of due diligence because you're going to lose it just like any other buyer is going to lose it. So if they walk away. So just note that if you're going to write a VA offer, then do it with some meat on it so that you're competing against the conventionals and others because the home seller is going to look at it. Now, we could argue cash is the easiest and the strongest, and that's why when we come back from the break, Sandy's going to talk about how she works with Cross Country or companies like Ribbon to together join those things together so that you get the benefits of a conventional loan and the benefits of a cash offer all together. And then we're going to gazump after that. So we'll be right back to show your real estate today on News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Don't go anywhere.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Here we are on a Saturday afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I'm Paul Jamison, your host, owner of the Jamison Family of Companies. That's Jamison Realty, Property Management, and Property Investments with Sandy Dickinson, my friend, guest, and loan partner with Cross Country Mortgage. We're talking about your home today, and we're going to talk about 12 homebuyer mistakes, not just first-time homebuyers, but homebuyer mistakes that happen. And we're also going to talk about when you make an offer on a home. And there's a way now for you to get the best of both worlds. A loan offered with cash. How in the world does that work, Sandy?
It's a mystery.
Oh, okay. So you just do it. You like shake a thing and out comes this loan program. So it starts with Ribbon or...
Of the mistakes of the home buyer?
No, we're going to talk about first. We talked at the end. We were going to explain how you could write a cash offer,
So Cross Country has coupled with Ribbon, and we were doing them anyway. But it's an automatic. Hey, if your loan doesn't go through, we will buy your house with cash. So it's even better than a cash buyer because a cash buyer will still walk away. This is actually part of the contract. So they have to buy it anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean, the reality is you go with cash. It's guaranteed. It's solid. But in the meantime, you're getting your loan ready and you actually close with your loan. It's a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
That is a fantastic way to compete, guys. So consider that as a good viable step. And you can call Sandy to get more details on that. All right. So, Sandy, what are the home buyer mistakes? There's not 12, there's 10, I guess. So kind of rifle through those for me, will you?
Okay. First of all, they don't figure out how much house they can afford. They need to know how much they can afford, and then they need to go a little bit lower than that because they're probably going to have to offer more than they anticipated.
Yeah.
So definitely you got to get that in line. Look at all the loan programs. So we've got, zillions of them. We have 18 jumbo lenders with all a bunch of loan programs. We have a ton of stuff. So ARM rates, fixed rates, all kinds of stuff.
New construction, everything.
All kinds of stuff. So check them all out. One may be better for you than the other. Check your credit reports. There always are things hopping on them that might surprise you, and little things can boost your credit a lot. So that's another one.
Hey, Sandy, wait a minute on that one. Okay, so you have an ability with a client to do something called a soft pull. Can you spend just 1 second on that?
Yeah, so that's a soft pull does not hit your credit and hurt your score. So it doesn't show up as an inquiry. But it gives us all the same information. We can't run it through an underwrite with that, but we can definitely see what you have on your credit, all your scores, and we can even run what we call a wizard to see what you can do to increase your score if you need to. So it's like a precursor that we can do that really has been a game changer for our clients.
Yeah, and also you had mentioned that coming up, medical collections was going to be
July 1st. Medical collections under $500 will not hurt your score anymore, which is going to be amazing.
That's going to
raise
a
lot
of people's credit score. Yeah, I know.
That's it.
But I mean, that's pretty cool.
That's really cool because they will pop on and you don't even know it, and then all of a sudden it's a surprise.
Yeah, and I will say this just from and I promise I won't slow you down anymore. I would say this. There's still a lot of medical practices that put stuff on your credit report and you don't even know you got a bill.
Absolutely.
And it's extremely frustrating. And, you know, you go to it. I had one go on. They had an address from like two houses ago. And they said they sent a bill, and, you know, who knows if they did or not, but it was on my credit report. So, anyway. All right.
Yeah.
Onwards. Sorry, Sandy.
Okay. So, make a good down payment. Don't make it too small. If you have the ability to put some money down, say even 5%, don't just say, oh, I want to do 3%, because 3%, number one, they're not as easy to go through, and they also have higher rates and higher mortgage insurance, and it doesn't look good to the seller. So put as much down payment down that you can and still be comfortable. Not knowing about discount points. You've got to know when and when not to pay discount points, and sometimes they're worth it, and sometimes they're not. So I wouldn't recommend paying a ton, but let's learn what a discount point is and what it can get you in a lower rate.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? Wait, I want to stop on that. See, I'm just
okay.
Like all over this. All right, so the other thing is, and you didn't mention this because you're very nice about that, is discount points is one thing that helps you potentially alter the rate in the downward direction, right?
Uh-huh.
But there's also, we talked about this a couple of shows ago, and this is a home buyer mistake. If you go to an online lender, be aware of the fees. Be aware
That's
of
right.
the rate, of the cost of the rate you're actually being quoted.
Yeah, they may give you an amazing rate, but you might be paying a lot for it, and it's not always worth it.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
So talk about that with your lender if they mention points.
Yeah, if you can get them on the phone again.
Don't move your money around a lot. So a lot of people move their money around, they take their money out of savings. They put it in a nice, safe place like a safe or under their mattress, and then we can't use it.
Yeah.
We have to source your money, so... Don't empty your savings. Don't anticipate your buy and go buy a bunch of furniture and stuff. We've got to have money in your accounts. And you may need it if an appraisal comes in low or something. Don't apply for any credit before the sale is final. For instance, at furniture, don't buy a car. Don't increase any credit. Leave it like it is because we do check all the way till closing.
Yeah, but what about 90 days same as cash? I mean, it doesn't come until after I pay the house. Yeah.
And now it's so sophisticated. I know the second that somebody hits your credit after I've pulled your credit.
I know, because I had a client that did that, that went out and did that, and you're like, what did you just do?
He bought a car, and he bought a house.
Crazy.
And I'm like, whoa, slow down, buddy.
Yeah, so funny.
Don't go shopping for a house before you know what kind of mortgage you can get. You don't want to fall in love with something that you can't afford. And you don't want to get into a situation where you've put a lot of money down on a contract and then you come for your mortgage and then you end up losing that money because you can't get your mortgage. So that happens a lot with some people. They come to me with their contracts and then they don't qualify and they've never been pre-approved. Then we're scrambling. Don't underestimate the cost of home ownership. There's going to be inspections. There's going to be due diligence. There's going to be the appraisal, earnest money. There's a lot of things in closing costs in general.
And HOA fees and sometimes capital contributions that you have to pay the HOA when you buy. Of course, that's usually paid by the seller now. But there's costs is the point.
Mm-hmm. And then especially now, don't miscalculate what you're going to have to put into the house after you buy it because, you know, this house is great, but there's going to be repairs or renovation. You know, you're getting it at a great price because the carpet's crappy, but the minute you get in, you're going to want to change that carpet out, and it's going to cost money. So take all that into consideration when you're buying.
All right, Sandy Dickinson, here's a little trivia for you. TJ, you're welcome to chime in. What is the average move-in cost as a percent of the purchase price when you buy a home?
The average move-in cost for what?
Move-in cost, like, you know, to buy...
Just moving your furniture?
Moving your furniture, getting stuff you need for the house, garbage cans, light bulbs, toilet paper, average move-in cost.
You said percent-wise?
Percentage.
2%.
Sandy?
0%.
Huh?
Percent. Oh, I would think it's more like 7 or 8%.
Oh, wow.
5%.
Wow.
So if you buy a $100,000 home, it's going to cost you basically $5,000 by the time you have the mover, by the time you get set up, by the time you do the things you need to do to get it operational. That's what this is just a national average. So that's a lot of dough. So I remember when I bought a new house, there were no light bulbs in the thing. I spent $250 on light bulbs. It's like, dang, that's a lot.
Wow.
All right. The show, Your Real Estate Today. And as promised, when I get back, we're going to talk about gazumping first thing. We'll be right back on News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Paul Jamison, your host here with the Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, Jamison Property Investment family of companies, and Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage. We're spending Saturday afternoon with you. Thank you. If you're just tuning in, the show is about real estate. Welcome, welcome. And okay, so I have mentioned to you multiple times I was going to tell you what gazumping was. So, gazumping is prevalent in the United Kingdom, in the UK. So being gazumped means that you have put in an offer to buy a property, and you've had it accepted, but then the seller accepts a higher offer from somebody else. This means your offer is now rejected and you cannot complete the sale. Crucially, it was generally happening right at the last moment. If you're gazumped, meaning that all the time you have put into the sale is wasted and may also cost you hundreds or thousands of pounds, as in the UK, in conveyancing fees and property surveys that you have already carried out. So think about it. If you could get gazumped at the last minute and the buyer is allowed then to try to outbid someone else for any property, wow, that would be craziness right up to the very last minute. Wouldn't that be nuts? Gazumping?
It seems illegal.
Well, it is here, but I mean, it's in the UK. But, you know, who knows? With the way things are going, we could go to the gazump model. And I just like saying the words. Hi.
It is a fun word.
Hi. At Jamison Realty, we can help you gazump the competition. Stay tuned for more if you're in the UK. All right. Okay. Staging. Vacant homes. First of all, quick tips about vacant home selling. Keep the temperatures between 72 and 74 degrees. My personal favorite, turn off the water. Now, I want to be nice. When I say turn off the water, it doesn't mean don't come back and check. Because, unfortunately, people may not know that the water is turned off and nature happens. And so when you go back, there's presence. So turn the water back on, recycle the water, and turn it back off. Also, you know, in the P-trap of the sink, water can gather and put off an odor. It's called off-gassing. I'm not just doing elementary school humor here. That's really true. So it can put out a very distinct odor. Run a little water through the sinks if the home has been vacant for a while. It just makes it smell better. Okay? All right. Clean the entryway on a regular basis. You know, these days, doggone it, they put little newspapers and door hangers and business cards in the screen door or storm door for alarm systems and lawn care and all this kind of stuff. Come along every once in a while and clean some of that stuff off. Oh. And, you know, not everybody takes off their shoes and puts on the little booties you have provided for them when they go into the house. And so sometimes they drag stuff in there. So just be aware of that. Also, if you're selling an empty house or selling a home off season, if you have some pictures of what the beds looked like when the flowers were blooming, or when the trees were blooming and it's not that season or the azaleas aren't blooming, put a picture out there so people can see that. And as I said earlier to TJ, don't use the scented plug-ins. Please. I am allergic to those things, and so I can't see your house with my client. All right? Also, keep the front lights on. Yes, Duke Power will send you a Christmas card. However, it does make the house more welcoming, and it makes it look nicer. Staging. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Staging is important. But make sure that the blinds are up and the home is not dark if you do not want to leave the lights on. Okay? So get as much light in as possible. You know, I've gone upstairs and people say, okay, I don't want to leave the blinds open because I'm worried about safety. Okay. But they're not going to, on the second floor, be peeking in the windows. Leave the blinds up all the way. So here's the definition of blinds up all the way. Open the slats and crank on the little string until it hits the very top and make sure that it's even, because there are some people that don't like uneven and they think the house is shifting if the blind is not even on both sides. So please make sure they're nice and uniform. And if you have two blinds next to each other, try to keep them even, symmetrical. It's a weird thing, like keeping the toilet seat down during showings. It's, you know, just do it. It's easy. Okay? All right? And oh, by the way, if the blind is dog-chewed and broken, just take it down. All right. Next, if you're going to make improvements, remember the hot spots. Kitchen, bathroom, smell. 15-second rule. When you walk in, first 15 seconds. The entryway, backyard entertainment, all of those are the hot spots. We'll talk more future shows about that. But let's talk about staging. So, Sandy, let me ask you a question.
All right.
You know, let's say for a minute you had a rental, okay? And
all right.
And no one was renting it. Would you stage it?
A rental?
Yeah.
Maybe, if you told me I should.
Yeah. What's interesting about that is that in certain markets, staging a rental is actually preferred. And when I talk about staging, I want to be clear. Staging does not mean that every single room, every single area has a piece of furniture in it. What you try to do is you try to stage the primary living area, the kitchen, and the master bedroom. That's it. So think about the rules of the primary rooms and not every room. Like if you have, if you want to stage for an office and along with the master bedroom or primary bedroom, as they're now requiring us to call it, it makes a difference. And it can make a difference. So also, you know, professional pictures make a huge difference. You can do virtual staging. And actually, that's what we would do in a rental is virtual. Unless you had the furniture available or it was you bought it and like the one that I had in Gastonia, that the staging furniture was left behind for a period of time, and I was able to show it staged. So virtual staging is the solution. Next, can staging increase the purchase, the sales price of the home? Yeah, somewhere from 11 to 17%. It gives them a positive first impression. It helps them visualize the property's potential, creates a wow factor, and it lets you relax and imagine what you could do with all those profits. And, of course, it's less stressful. You have somebody else's furniture in there, and yours is out and in your new place. So virtual staging is what you do with a rental, and it makes a big difference, and that's steps we're now starting to take with clients that have a home that's vacant. So you're going to see more of that coming from Jamison Property Management. All right, Sandy, if they want to get to you and a loan, what do they do and how do they do it?
They call my mobile at 704-577-0144.
704-577-0144, Sandy Dickinson, Cross Country Mortgage. If you want to talk to us at Jamison, 704-846-DONE. That's 846-3663. You're on the web at myjamisonhomes.com. I will be doing an open house this weekend, Saturday from 1 to 3. So during the show, you will be able to come visit me at Halsted Lane in Madison Park. So come on by and check us out, or check out the listing at myjamisonhomes.com. We will talk to you soon. Have a great day. God bless. We'll talk to you next week. The show, Your Real Estate Today, News Talk 1110-993 WBT.